from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Live from St. John Fisher, Sal Capaccio joins us. We're back in our usual chairs here at the Pavilion between fields. Coverage of Bills training camp from St. John Fisher, presented by Admar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it. And brought to you in part by Fiegel, Carr & Joyce, your border attorneys, by Outlet Liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. Mr. Capaccio, good morning.
Correction, by the way, we have swivel chairs this year. So they're not the same.
You know what? You're right. We have rolly chairs.
I chose the non-rolly chair to sit here. We have the rolly chairs over there. I was just like, you know what? I'm going to sit with these guys. I don't want to be rolling back and forth in the concrete here.
Yeah.
So,
you know,
okay.
It's science. You get a couple people in rolly chairs, they start doing races soon.
Right.
By day five, we're so competitive, we're going to do some office chair races on this pavilion up here.
Yeah.
Well, Sal, welcome back to another season of training camp. Do you know what number it is for you? I always like asking that. Like, the guys that come in, Mike Catalan is coming in later. They're like, how many camps has it been? How many for you?
12. This would be, let's see, 2000. I moved back up in 11 after training camp. So starting with 2012, I don't even know if I came to training camp in 12, to be honest with you. I wasn't, like, in this role, obviously, WGR. I think the first time I came here was 2013, actually, to actually do stuff with WGR and cover the team. So this would be year number 12, I guess, right?
All right.
Because I will tell you, it will be my 11th year on the sidelines. Because that 2014 was my first year on the sidelines during the game broadcast. I think 2013, EJ Manuel, that draft, that would have been my first time here covering the team in some capacity. Maybe 2012, though, I guess. You could think about it for a few days here or there.
And in those years, they would have been practicing on the turf
a lot more.
That's right. They did a lot at Grounie Stadium here. Now they're more on the grass.
Yep.
There's another facility or another field back there as well.
Yep. Guys, so, I don't even know if the stadium, this part existed.
At the start, I don't know either, to be totally honest.
Like, there was a stadium here. It wasn't like this. It wasn't as big and fancy. Like, they've made upgrades. One of the benefits of the Bills being here over the years is the money that's helped out with St. John Fisher.
Yeah. Right.
And they've really, really upgraded their athletics facilities. And that's why they actually, you know, traditionally, I don't know exactly their record last couple of years, but traditionally I think they've really risen in Division III football as well because of some of the amenities that have kind of come along with having the Bills here and that support.
Well, we've had camps where, you mentioned EJ Manuel's name, it's watching the young quarterback. We've had camps where it's about the battle at quarterback. Then, of course, you know, the Sean McDermott and Josh Allen era, it's been about How high can they go? Super Bowl or bust? And then there's this one, right? I started out, Sal, saying to Joe, I think this is the camp that most often gets referred to as different from a lot of camps.
That's right.
So what do you, you know, put a bow on it. You've got a preview up at our website, 6 questions. What's the overarching kind of conversation about what this camp is for this organization?
You know, it's the word I've been using is, I guess, if it's not a great word, but wondering, right? Everybody's just wondering. Wondering what this team's going to look like. Wondering if they have enough at wide receiver. Wondering if Von Miller's going to be able to bounce back. Wondering what the safety position looks like. Wondering about Matt Milano's health. Wondering about the kickoff rules, whatever it is. There's so much here that I think that in years past, sure, you'd have questions. There are just so many more of them. I listed 6 big questions on my preview this morning. There's a lot more than 6, but these are the 6 that I kind of said, okay, I think that these are what fans are really talking about. And obviously it starts at wide receiver. I think that's the biggest number one wonder. Now, what's interesting to me is, let's go back to the wide receiver train. Not that you necessarily want to revisit that time period in your life, Jeremy. But
hey,
let's go back.
We're not done with it.
That's right. When you went back to the wide receiver train in February and March and April, I do feel there's more of a calming feeling about that with fans right now, but there's still a lot of wondering.
Yeah.
I think we've settled into, okay, they got a lot of guys. They should be okay because they have Josh Allen, but let's see how this goes versus, oh, my God, they got nobody. I don't think it's like that anymore,
yeah.
Right? So I think that at least has calmed, but all it takes is a couple of days out here where you don't really see anybody flash, and maybe the passing game struggles a little bit, and we are right back to where you were in February.
Well, that's what I want to get with here. Like, minicamp,
I guess, or April after they traded Diggs.
Sure, but minicamp, you know, it's everybody looks good in shorts, and there's plenty of practices out here that are just shorts, no pads. Like, but my question is, what are you really going to be able to see? Because minicamp is media portion of practice. These practices are the public comes and sees Curtis Samuel against Rasul Douglas and MVS against Christian Benford and Keon Coleman as well. Like, do you feel like you'll be able to, and Bills fans might be able to get a good idea of how the receivers are able to perform in those one-on-one drills a little bit more so? Like, expectations, like you said, there's a lot of wondering. And yes, this is camp, but can the picture start to clarify a little bit?
I think with a guy like Keon Coleman, probably more than anyone on that list you just mentioned. The other guys, they've been in this league. I think if Curtis Samuel torches somebody one-on-one, I think we might be talking about the guy he torched more than Curtis Samuel, right?
Yeah.
If Curtis Samuel struggles against somebody one-on-one, I don't think we're all going to be like, oh, my God, Curtis Samuel. He's not necessarily a separator. He's got some speed, but that's not necessarily his game. Khalil Shakir, kind of the same thing. Remember last year he didn't have a great camp. We were talking about that a lot, right?
Yeah.
But I think Keon Coleman's the guy here, Jeremy, which is if Keon Coleman goes out there and he just can't seem to get away, we're going to have these conversations about what's this going to be like. If he's having success in these one-on-one drills, we're going to, yes, think about, okay, who's he going against? But, okay, this is translating better than a lot of people thought it would. But I think the real test is going to come when they go on the field 11-on-11 and we start to get an idea of where they are rep-wise. Yeah, we're not charting necessarily who's in the slot, who's outside. There's only things we can say. People here can see that stuff, and there's going to be a big rotation. But we're going to see how much Josh Allen looks to him. We're going to see how much, how many times he makes a play, a viral catch of the day, something like that.
Yeah.
But I think that's where it comes in. I think Keon is the key to that thing you're asking, which is we're going to watch him in those one-on-ones. Because what is his knock on him? What is the question? Can he separate? Can he get off the line? What's his get-off? Those are things we're going to see in those drills.
I'm going to be interested, too, to hear like how they talk about him, too, Sal, because I mentioned this in the first hour, that we're going to think about the crazy catches and, you know, how often does he go viral because he's going to have catches like that.
Yep.
And even the yards after catch thing for him is, you know, a big part of his college game. But Brandon Bean said after the draft that they kind of plan on him playing the X, and where Gabe Davis played before was that position. And all the things they asked Gabe Davis to do that wasn't just catch the football, the offense is different, right? Different coordinator. We don't know what it's going to look like fully. But that specific role, that receiver spot that Coleman maybe will end up playing, like, that's a lot for a rookie, because there's more that comes with that than just catching the football.
Yeah, Joe, you're so good, because you went right from my number one question to my number two on the list, which is,
okay,
what does Joe Brady's offense look like? And that's exactly it, right? Like, we've kind of thought about, okay, It's going to be Samuel outside, Coleman outside, Khalil Shakir in the middle, in the slot. He can do both. Dalton Kincaid's going to get a lot of time. You can flex James Cook out. Wait a minute, though. You got Curtis Samuel who can play in the backfield. You got a couple guys who can move around. I don't know what it's going to look like. And let's remember, he took over, as I wrote, he took over with 8 weeks left in the season last year. I talked to Joe Brady at the Combine. I said, what is it like taking over in the middle of a season? You can't just go and put your stuff in. You don't have the same offense that Ken Dorsey does. He said, obviously, it's not easy. So what you do is you start with what Josh Allen likes. What does Josh like to do? We start to pare things down. This is what you don't like. We'll take that out. We'll start to put in. Then you start to morph some of your own ideas and concepts. Well, guys, I know he was not the full-time guy, but you know he's been preparing for this even before that. And now it's his offense. Now it's what he wants to do with, in conjunction, the same stuff with Josh Allen. What does that look like? I agree with you. I have no idea what a Ken Dorsey offense is truly going to look like, because we can take all the data from those last 8 weeks of the season last year, Joe. I don't know if it really tells us anything, to be quite honest with you. A lot of circumstances changed. He was new. The weather changed. They were running the ball well. They were winning. We don't know what they're forcing the ball to Stephon Diggs. There's no more Diggs. There's no more Gabe Davis. Dawson Knox coming back and being healthy. I think leaning into 12 personnel a little bit more. Those are all things that we have to have answered here.
Yeah. You know, Kincaid, for this last year, Sal, we've been recapping quite a bit. He shows up and he just looked the part right away, right?
Yeah.
How high should expectations be for him? It's year two, but he was so comfortable in year one that it feels like a lot of Bills fans feel comfortable really heaping big expectations on him for year two. I feel like I do. I expect a lot.
I'm not exaggerating when I think that it's not too much for people to think he could be a Pro Bowl player. I mean, I think that's the kind of player he can be this year. I don't know if I'd go as high as all pro. I mean, you have a lot of really good tight ends in this league. But that level of player, I'm not saying he would have to make the Pro Bowl, but somebody at the end of the year were like, yeah, I mean, this guy, he deserves to be there. He deserves to be voted. Because I'm telling you guys, when I go on, and we all do this, we go on these other radio stations around the country, everybody that talks to us, that's talked to me, has mentioned how much they think Dalton Kincaid can be really good. And hey, what does his ceiling look like? How good can he be in year two? It feels to me like outside of Buffalo, the national expectation is for Dalton Kincaid to have a better year than Sam LaPorta had, let's say, right? Would be a good bet. Last year, Sam LaPorta, Dalton Kincaid, two rookies. They had two historic seasons, two of the best rookie tight end seasons in the history of this league. And I think people feel that even though LaPorta was a bit ahead of him statistically, that's where Dalton Kincaid can be and even beyond that.
Yeah, the difference for them right now is that LaPorta's in an offense that has Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams and, you know, maybe Gibbs and James Cook are a bit of a wash. It feels like Kincaid is more central to this offense than LaPorta might be to Detroit. Granted, he's a big piece of it, but people might be expecting Kincaid to be the number one target.
Agreed. I think the Bills approached this offseason at the wide receiver spot with the thought in mind of, we need to remember we have Dalton Kincaid. So anything we do, we don't have to necessarily, oh my God, we have all these pass catchers. I think they're, what was it last year, 2 years ago, I kept referring to, let's think of them as pass catchers. Mm-hmm. Well, I think in this same vein, yes, they're tight ends. He's a tight end. But I think the Bills took it collectively as pass catchers and said, we do have a number one guy. Same as Dalton Kincaid. He's just not necessarily playing, you know, outside and getting all these targets like Stephon Diggs. So I think, as you said before, Jeremy, sky's the limit.
Yeah. Well, you know, just a quick follow-up on him, Sal. Like, I'm trying to figure out, too, like, what you say Pro Bowl and, like, maybe All-Pro's too high. I don't know if it is.
Right.
Like, not to say it would be a disappointment if he's not an All-Pro.
You've got
to
be better than Kelce, though. All-Pro, there's one job.
Yeah, okay, well,
that's
I'm thinking second-team All-Pro also included in that.
I mean, but think of it. You have LaPorta. You have Mark Andrews.
Yeah,
you have,
it's
like,
tough.
All these really,
it's tough.
Really
it's
high-level
tough for
tight
sure.
ends.
But I'm trying to, like, what is the thing that will hold him back from being one of the best tight ends in football? Because his hands are as rock solid as it gets. He, route running wise, seems like he gets that. Mm-hmm. The downfield element wasn't as present last year. Maybe that's an area they want to grow. Touchdowns in the red zone. But for me, like, I wonder if it's like the big leap going from a 600, 700 yard tight end to one of the most productive tight ends in football. Like, isn't the thing that they're just waiting on is more chemistry built with Josh Allen?
Yeah, I think the thing that would hold him back maybe is opportunity. Because if all these guys are going to spread the ball out to, you don't have the one Stephon Diggs. I don't think that his targets replace Diggs' targets, right? I don't think that's what's going to happen. So where does that fall in? So maybe it's opportunity, right? There's just so many guys that spread it around. Yeah, he's really good. And if he had even more targets, look at, you know, his second half of the year last year and how he came on. I mean, if we take that and extrapolate it, you're looking at some pretty darn good numbers, right? Yeah. Whatever point you want to make that from. I just don't know how high he can get. I agree with you that he can be an all-pro player. I think if people are walking into this year thinking, oh, my God, if he doesn't make all-pro,
right.
I think that's wrong. But certainly enough to me, I mean, he's a first-round tight end. And, you know, he's expected to do big things.
Sal Capaccio joining us on to question three on your six big questions about a 35-year-old defensive end, Von Miller. And I want to ask you this way. You know, when Von started, one of the things he was able to do was be himself, do his podcast, recruit players. Like, he was a man about town for this team. And recently, his comments about saying he shouldn't have been playing last year. I wonder how the Bills kind of feel about that. They let Von be Von, right? Say whatever you want to say, Court, Beckham. Now here he's saying he shouldn't have played last year. That could be a couple different things. It could be an excuse. It could be true. How soon will we know if Von Miller looks like the real Von Miller?
Probably not until the regular season. I think we'll see some things out here, how much he's doing. And look, guys, first of all, let me go back to that comment. You could definitely take it as him maybe having some sort of grudge. That's not, to me at all, what he was saying. What he was saying was, hey, I came back and I tried to push it. I probably shouldn't have done that. They wanted me to play. I wanted to play. Even though the Bills actually, remember, they held off on him for the first 4 weeks of the season, even though he kept saying, I'm going to be out there, I'm going to be out there. So I think he's just saying collectively. That's right.
Thanks for pointing that out. I forgot. He said he'd be ready.
That's right.
He also said he'd be ready if they made the Super Bowl.
He said, yes.
Okay, right. Thank you.
That's exactly right. So I think he's saying self-reflection, I probably went back too early and shouldn't have been out there. Maybe I shouldn't have played at all, whatever it is. Now, you think about how this looks this year. We'll see things in camp that you might go, okay, Von looks like he's moving really well. Or maybe we'll see things and go, man, I just haven't seen him flash. I don't think any of that. This is going to be the training camp pledge, not just the preseason pledge, Jeremy. I think when it comes to Von Miller, we're going to have to wait till the regular season. Now, I'll tell you this. He did everything at OTAs and minicamp. Like, there were a couple days he wasn't there, I think, during the voluntary stuff, but he was pretty much there. And I'm not telling you, like, he was tearing up. There's no hitting, and you don't know exactly, you know, how all that looks. I just know from a standpoint of, I saw him out there all the time.
Yeah. So for him and his job, you need speed and power, right? And was it the power he was lacking? The speed returned, but the power didn't. And if you as Von Miller only have half of your arsenal, then you're going to be easier to defend as an offensive line. Do you feel like maybe we'll be able to see the return of whatever was missing? Granted, we have to wait till the regular season for the results, but here's the example. Last year, Trey White showed up, and it was pretty clear he's back. Like, we knew it. Right?
Yeah.
Took a year. He was back. Could we see that with him, with Von?
I think so, except here's a big difference. Trey White plays a position where, while they do rotate here, it's a one. There's a guy. He's a guy. Yeah. He's your starter. He's out there. Von plays a position where not only do they rotate, they kind of don't need to see him a lot.
Yeah.
They got it. They have to evaluate the defensive end spot. While the Bills had to evaluate corner, Trey's got to play a little bit more, you know, and get those reps under his belt at that position. And you know, he's one of the two guys that needs to be out there. I think the Bills probably feel, hey, we'll give Von what he needs in camp, but really, it's not going to happen until the regular season.
Next question at your article is about the secondary, Kair Elam. What happens with the secondary with Kair Elam and his role as he gets potentially more of a role?
Well, that's up to him. If Kair Elam has the same training camp as he did spring, I mean, the Bills really finally have the guy, not necessarily the first-round pick they drafted, but maybe even a Dane Jackson replacement-level type player, which I think we'd all take for Kair Elam at this point, right?
Sure. Good depth. Displacing one of their top two boundary corners, I don't want to say it's impossible, but it seems like...
I feel like it's almost impossible.
Benford has been so good. He's starting to get love from PFF.
Yes.
Like, the idea that Elam could supplant one of those two...
No, that's right. Now, I will say, Benford has had some injuries in his career, right? So you're going to need someone there. The issue I have is, what's after Kair Elam? I like Jamarcus Ingram a lot. You guys know that. I've talked about him. don't know if Jamarcus Ingram's ready to play a full-time role in the NFL, yeah. but that's the next guy. I mean,
and isn't that kind of it?
Yes.
Right? Like, there's
I mean, you have guys, you have journeymen yeah. who are on there. They drafted Daquan Hardy, more of a return guy, and he's a slot guy.
Yeah.
Right? So taking out the slot, the boundary corner position is literally Rasul Douglas, Christian Benford, and Kyrie Lum, let's hope. And my question is, can he carry in what we saw in training camp and minicamp? OTAs and minicamp. He'd had more opportunity because Rasul Douglas wasn't there for the voluntary stuff. And then Christian Benford wasn't there, excused for the minicamp, the mandatory minicamp. He had personal stuff going on. So he had more opportunity. Now he's going to maybe have to force that opportunity while out here at training camp.
Poyer and Hyde, post-Poyer and Hyde life.
I mean, listen, it's going to look really different without them in the secondary. We know that. But what I'm confident is, this is the first time since 2016 they won't have Poyer and Hyde at training camp. Think about that, right?
Yeah.
And Tre'Davious White. It's crazy. What I'm confident in, what won't look different, the scheme, the coaching.
Yeah.
I think the Bills have anybody who understands the scheme, who they can put in there, has a chance to succeed at some level. And I'm talking about bringing in a Kurt Coleman who played in it in Carolina, bringing in a Dean Marlowe, who played in at Carolina, bringing in and putting in Damar Hamlin. Now, it's not going to go great all the time. These guys don't have the athletic traits, maybe, that Poyer and Hyde have. But the system will help them. They now have Taylor Rapp, who's been here 2 years, who's been in this league 5 years. They have Mike Edwards, who has played for Todd Bowles, won a Super Bowl, very similar system. Played for Steve Spagnuolo, won a Super Bowl, very similar system. I think they're going to be okay at safety. I'm not telling you they're going to be like they were a few years ago at Poyer and Hyde. But, guys, let's remember, what were Poyer and Hyde last year?
I mean, they were like middle-of-the-road safeties at best.
Hyde was still dealing with injuries yeah. in the neck and coming back.
And Poyer was only playing it half the time.
That's exactly right. So I don't mean to sound mean when I say this, but what are you really missing by going to a couple of younger guys who've been in the system? Maybe some leadership and some high and IQ. I get that.
Yeah.
And then Cole Bishop obviously will have a say. I think he eventually fights for a starting job. I think that's a tall task early on.
Do you remember, real quick trivia, 2016 you mentioned was the last
yeah.
camp they had without Poyer and Hyde. Do you remember their last starting safeties at a training camp that were not named Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde?
2016, Rex, safeties. Oh, man. I mean, was Jim Leonard here?
Oh,
no,
wow.
Jim Leonard. Aaron Williams was one of them.
Okay.
Aaron Williams was still here. And then Corey Graham was the other safety.
Corey Graham. Geez,
yeah.
Those were their starting safeties, the last camp that Poyer and Hyde weren't here.
Yeah.
Wrapping up with Sal, question six is special teams. Let's save that for tomorrow.
Okay.
Because we're going to get a look at returns.
Well, part of what I wrote in special teams is this will be the first time us and the media and fans will really actually be paying a lot of attention to what they're doing
just
with
say,
kickoffs.
I don't even
returns.
Know how to handle myself. Usually yeah. when they start doing kickoffs, I just turn the other way and start having conversation. I got to see what these kickoffs look like.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very
yep.
exciting. And one last thing before you go. Milano, full
so,
go? Or what?
So he should be. Like, we have not had, as I'm sitting here, guys, I'm waiting. Is there an alert coming about anybody starting off on PUP? A lot of times that'll happen in the morning. But Matt Milano did pretty much, I mean, he wasn't on the field in team reps. He did all the individual stuff at minicamp. He looked like fine. He actually took a bag to the ground. He was tackling, right? Not necessarily a player. And Brandon Bean said after minicamp that all of the guys who had missed minicamp for any injury, he said they all should be good to go for training camp.
Okay.
So I'm taking that as Matt Milano's going to be out there like normal.
Very good.
So there's really nobody else to really monitor then, you think?
I mean,
it would have popped up between right. in like the last
yes.
month or
Ray
so?
Davis had a knee injury that missed a little bit of minicamp, but he was out there walking around, right?
Okay.
There was a bunch of guys here and there
okay.
that had things going on. But, yes, to answer your question, yeah, we'll see. If anybody pops up today, that's either A, something happened where they failed their conditioning test, you know what I mean, and they're just, they can't, haven't passed
sure.
the physical part of it yet,
yep.
or B, something happened during the offseason.
So Capaccio, of course, here at training camp. You've moved in.
Not yet. I have
okay.
my stuff in my car. I stayed up here in the Rochester area last night. I am way overpacked. I got stuff coming out of the brims. I should have rented a U-Haul. I didn't know, but I'm ready to rock and roll, and I'm going to see if I can get in my dorm now because it's. I needed to get up here early before. Last year, I was trying to move stuff in while fans were going in. I'm like, oh, my God. Do you remember when you went to Syracuse, your freshman year, like
goon
moving
squad.
Into your dorm?
The
yeah,
goon
the
squad.
Goon squad,
yeah.
right? I need a goon squad. That's what I need.
Yeah. All right, Sal. Thanks. We'll talk again.
All right, you got it.
When we get back, we'll see how good Joe is at trivia. C.J. Stroud looks to become the third quarterback to do something in about a decade. Not a long list, not long trivia. The challenge that awaits Stroud. Jeremy and Joe here, live from St. John Fisher on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For track pick.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
The goal for Drake is just to get better each and every day. And look, it's not a straight line up to the top. There will be ups and downs, but if you look left to right, you just hope that if he started here, he's here. And once again, if he comes out here and he takes full advantage and lights it up, like, he could be the day one quarterback. But like I said, coming out of the spring, I think it's Jacoby.
That's Patriots coach Gerard Mayo on Drake May. One thing about Drake May I would like to get out there before I give this trivia question about C.J. Stroud and the NFL in general. There was a highlight package of Drake May running the ball. Somebody yesterday pointed like, hey, camp starts tomorrow. Here's Drake May running the ball. And I'm going to say something. I don't want you to get mad at me.
But it was with the music in the background.
Freebird. Right?
Freebird. It was the Freebird guitar solo, which I found out yesterday is actually a great instrumental underneath players running.
Yes, it is. Okay, so you watched that full Drake May video?
I did.
Who did he look like?
Who did he look like?
Running the ball, who did he look like?
I mean, he wasn't that fast, right?
He's pretty fast. He's running
fast.
Away from Clemson linebackers. He leaped over a linebacker. He was juking guys in the open field.
Not quite.
Joe, say it. Who did he look like?
I'm not saying it.
He looked like Josh Allen. The guy can move. The guy can play. And somehow, in the pre-draft process, he got dumped on a lot.
He looked like Will Levis. I'll give him that. Will Levis looks like Josh Allen when he runs. I'll say that. I think that he looks more like Allen when he runs than Drake May.
Will Levis looks like he wants to punch a hole in a linebacker because he's jacked.
Right.
And Drake May might not be that. Anyway, all right, so here's your trivia question from Bills camp.
Okay.
See, more than a decade to lead a team to the playoffs in his first two seasons. No one has done that in more than a decade. Josh Allen didn't do that. Patrick Mahomes, it's kind of cheating because his first year he didn't play.
Yeah, right.
Mahomes really...
And his team did make the playoffs, but he wouldn't have played.
Right. So, you know, there are circumstances here.
Okay.
No rookie quarterback has made the playoffs as a rookie and then again in the second year. In 10 years, 2012 had a guy do it, 2013 Those are the 2 years they did it.
Okay.
Who were they?
2012 is the RG3
yes.
Wilson class.
Yep.
I'm going to guess that of those three, that Wilson was the one who did it.
So did Luck.
They both did it?
Those are the two.
Okay.
Luck and Wilson. The last two rookie and second-year quarterbacks to lead their team to the playoffs.
Yeah.
Andrew Luck and Russell Wilson. And Stroud looking to become the second, or whatever, the third to do it since 2012.
Nobody's done it since then.
Isn't that amazing? Like I said, like the Mahomes workaround is a little weird there. And there are probably a few others. Purdy would have done it first season.
Like, since then, the EJ class would have had absolutely nobody that did that. Not the year after that. Winston and Mariota, no. Goff? No, Goff was terrible as a rookie,
Goff was terrible as a rookie.
Terrible, right.
Because Jeff Fisher was terrible.
Yep, Trubisky was terrible as a rookie. Watson was great, but Watson, remember, got hurt like a couple of games into his rookie season.
Yep.
So, okay, as I go through it, Mayfield? Mayfield didn't make the playoffs
as a
rookie?
He set the rookie touchdown record. I don't know if he made the playoffs. I don't think so.
He must not have. Lamar Jackson?
Didn't play as a starter his rookie season. He wasn't really the starter. He played 8 games. Like, he was not a.
Wasn't he by the end though? Did he play in the playoffs as a rookie?
I don't know.
Lamar would be the only one that I might want to
A little bit of a workaround there.
Because he here we go. Lamar played 7 games as a rookie and was 6-1.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, tremendous. And then he did play the wild card game as a.
Right.
So maybe it was like start like he didn't even start half the year.
Right.
Lamar did. So I guess there would be a qualifier there.
803-0550, our phone number. We can take your calls. Tell us what you're thinking about, what you want us to look for out here at St. John Fisher. The kickoffs. I mean, yeah.
The kickoffs are going to be.
Watching kickoffs, when's the last time you put your eyes on something on a football field you'd never seen before? I mean, they had this in the XFL, so I guess you've seen the general idea, but we're going to see new kickoffs. So get ready for that. There are going to be people showing up in the stands today.
Yeah.
And the formation is going to show up. And what's this?
Yeah.
Googling rule changes from the seats.
I really think it's going to look more like a run play than anything else.
Yeah.
We had Sean Syed on from Sumer Sports last week, and he watched all 406 XFL kickoff returns.
Wow. What a thrill that must have been.
Charted them and stats on them, and you know he went through it all. And I feel like his biggest takeaway was all the creativity, the big differences that you're going to see. If you really want to get into the weeds on it, is you're going to see guys pulling, you're going to see blocking schemes that you see on offensive plays.
Like a pulling guard?
Like a pulling guard, right. There's going to be a linebacker pulling
like
a guard.
Like screen passes almost. Yeah.
And,
where you let one guy through, turn, and block the other guy.
Yep, and he said there were a lot of running backs that got used in this, and maybe that's something that we'll see with the NFL teams too, that you saw some bigger-bodied returners rather than you know, your Deontay Hardy types who are like 5'6" and just super fast. But the mechanics of it are going to look so foreign to somebody that I've watched enough of the XFL ones where I feel like I have a good handle on what it's going to be. But, you know, like most football fans that haven't watched and sat and watched the XFL a lot over the years, like it's going to be super foreign, super foreign. But I think it's going to 97%. He had 97% of XFL returns kickoffs were returned. So it's going to be a play in the league again.
Will it be an exciting play or a play? I mean,
I think it's going to be an exciting play.
Well, point after touchdowns, extra points were a play.
Yeah,
but they were boring and they changed it. So.
I think the play is going to result in a touchdown often enough, or a big return often enough, that it's going to be worth watching instead of. You know, what's the kickoff been? It's been the perfect bathroom break, right, for football games for the last five years. Because you get the two commercial breaks around it, you get a kickoff in the middle that means absolutely nothing, that nobody returns, and perfect, got a couple of minutes as a break. Now I feel like you can't walk away from the TV. That's my guess.
803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Give us a call if you'd like. Plenty more coverage coming here from St. John Fisher. When we return... Do Bills fans have to give Aaron Rodgers
nope.
a little bit of a hat? You got to give it.
I don't know what the
next word
is.
Tip your hat to him. You got to say a.
Nope.
Thanks, buddy.
Nope.
The worst person in the world just made a great point. Bills fans forced to confront that reality. Next.
Where do you live in New York?
You live in New Jersey?
Yeah, nobody lives in
New York. Yeah, you can't live in New York.
If you're a Giant, you can. But still, I don't know why you would, just because of the traffic and through the tunnel and
yeah.
all of our stuff. I joke about. I know that stadium used to be on Long Island, but we're the New Jersey Jets.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So are the Giants.
Yeah.
The Giants play in New Jersey.
There's only one team that plays in New York.
Yeah.
It's the Buffalo Bills.
Bills Mafia.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers on with Pardon My Take. I don't know, Bills fans. But Joe's over here stewing. Rodgers.
I'm stewing.
Rodgers
because
admitting that the New Jersey Jets, how dare he?
You told me another thing he said on the podcast, which is why I'm stewing. Yeah. I am. Okay, so he acknowledges. Fine. Also, is it not as fun, though, when they acknowledge it?
That's
don't
right.
You want them to fight against it?
Yes, that's the bad news. Like, you're not supposed to do that.
Yeah, it's not as fun now that we proclaim that we're the only team in New York if you agree with us. I don't care. I'm going to be rooting against this guy harder than I think I've rooted against any athlete in my life. I rooted against, what would the answer be for me that, like, individual athlete that I rooted so hard against and it was just because of that guy? It might be, honestly, even though I love him now and he's become one of my favorite athletes, when LeBron went to the Heat, I was, oh.
Rooting against him?
So rooting against him. I got into the NBA. I was not an NBA fan before that. I became one rooting against the Miami Heat. That is going to be that level of disdain that I have every week wanting to see the Jets fall apart.
All right. Off the cuff, I'll present to you the top five athletes I've rooted against the hardest.
Okay.
Number five, Tom Brady.
Okay.
Number four, Tom Brady. Okay. Number three is Tom Brady. Number two is Tom Brady, and number one is, yeah, it's Brady.
It's Tom Brady.
Yeah. Yeah. If I had to name anybody else in there,
Who after?
Who else is in there?
Brady's obviously an obvious one here.
Kenny Rogers.
Kenny Rogers.
Yeah. My grudges. I like my grudges. Kenny Rogers. You know, I was rooting for the Mets, and he walked in the NLCS clinching run.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Throw a strike. You're a pitcher. Kenny Rogers.
What about like Alex Rodriguez or something?
No, else rooted against the most? The hard, like, really wanted to fail.
Is there a hockey guy at some point along the way? Like a Danny Heatley?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so.
There's got to be another quarterback, doesn't there? Who's a quarterback you just didn't like? Didn't like him.
Roethlisberger.
Something about
at the end, Roethlisberger. Did not like him at the end.
At the end, Roethlisberger?
Yeah.
When he was bad?
Yes.
Wasn't that because, though, people were...
Yes, because the Steelers. I mean, it's just the Steelers for me. I hate the Steelers.
Yeah.
Boy, it's tough. Sometimes it's guys on your own team. You just want them to go away.
Yeah.
Anyway. 8 o'clock, we'll get into the viral camp catch counter. The new feature we're launching.
Yes.
Don't worry, it does not butt up against the preseason pledge. Preseason pledge.
We're going to have a talk about the preseason
pledge. Listen, the preseason pledge is still firmly intact.
No.
Whatever happens now.
It is at a greater threat than any time in its history.
Why? Because of the Xavier Worthy catch?
No, not because of the Xavier Worthy catch, but this receiver train, I think, is going to run over the preseason
pledge. We're gonna keep the preseason pledge. We are going to do the viral camp catch counter. Which rookie receiver wins best in camp? Xavier Worthy's highlight the other day is pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a bomb. Who couldn't catch a bomb from Mahomes? But he did run by everybody. And the Chiefs got to camp early, and Worthy is the first viral camp catch. Keon Coleman comes out here today. Joe, all he's got to do is sky for a one-hander, catch one over the middle like he did at Florida State. That's a viral camp catch.
Yeah.
We're doing the viral camp catch counter. We will crown a rookie receiver, the king of camp. And then?
The king of camp.
We will wash it away because it doesn't matter. But we're here, so let's have a scoreboard.
Yes.
This is brought to you by the creators of the Who's Dak, charting quarterbacks to win the Bills' job. This is brought to you by the Willis McGahee touchdown tracker. Willis McGahee, of course.
That was the thing?
Oh, yeah.
The Willis McGahee touchdown tracker?
Yeah, the Willis McGahee touchdown tracker. Willis McGahee once scored approximately 70 touchdowns at a St. John Fisher training camp.
Wow.
Oh, there's an idea. Oh, man, I'm doing the math here. How many training camps I've been to?
I mean, that is here. He stopped playing for the Bills in like 2005.
Yeah, I was going to say.
2006.
That's 21 years ago. I've been coming here for 21 years.
20 years. 2004 was his first. Oh, well, he was drafted in 03, yeah. But he wouldn't have participated in camp.
Okay, so 04?
So 04.
At least 04. 04.
So 20 years.
Where I stand right here.
Wow, hold on. Congrats. It's your 20-year anniversary.
Thank you. Let me be grandpa for a moment. Ah, yeah, Joe's standing right here. I can remember the night practice where Jeff Toole out-dueled E.J. Manuel.
Oh.
That happened on this field right here in front of us.
The old-timey stories. Like, what are the stories I'm going to tell my grandkids about at Bill's training camp? Like, in my earliest memories? Was I here? No, I don't think I was. When Lossman broke his leg?
I was not there that day, but Mike Shope and the Bulldog were here.
Okay. I don't think I was.
Because they had Donahoe on the air immediately after.
Maybe I just remember listening, or remember the day, and finding out that their quarterback's leg was broken by someone in the secondary.
Troy Vincent.
Troy Vincent?
Yeah. Troy Vincent.
Interesting.
Ah, memories.
I'll remember. You know what I'll remember more? You know who I'll tell stories of? The forgotten receivers that we all fell in love with time after time.
Don't
at camp.
You dare throw shade at Tyrell Shavers. This is his year.
I'm back on the
Tyrell Shavers train.
Have we ever had one of those guys actually become good, though? Like, you had your Brandon Riley, right? Derrick Rogers was one of these guys.
Rod Streeter.
Right. When did it ever work?
Who's the most obscure camp Bill that became a thing?
Yeah.
Became a guy.
Yep.
Milano's not a bad answer. He's a fifth-round pick.
Draft pick's a little tougher.
I feel like his own family was kind of surprised. Like, he made the team, and he's amazing.
Yeah.
He was not expected to be, like, the best at what he does, but he does, you know.
What about, like, a Joik Bell for this?
Joik Bell.
Although he did that elsewhere, right?
Give me some Lionel Gates. Give me some.
I don't even know who that is. Lionel Gates sounds like an 80s R&B.
Who else do I want here? I mean, George Wilson.
Okay.
He was a receiver that switched to safety.
He was a quarterback, too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
A receiver that switched to safety.
Listen,
that's right. He was receiver before.
Tyrod is a little of this. He was signed as a guy.
That's good. You're right.
He was signed as a guy to go in the competition, and he won.
And he was a. He was the backup from Baltimore. What was it? What was his original contract have been? Like 1 year?
Very little. Yeah.
Yeah, Tyrod's not bad for this.
803-0550, camp memories. We'll be back. Take a break on the other side. We'll talk about this viral camp catch counter. The worthy thing. The Coleman thing. You know, now it begins. Take apocalypse on the Bills-Chiefs trade. Welcome. We're going to get into the thick of it now. Now that we're getting viral cam catches. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.